In seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to Psalm 32 and the 7th verse. Psalm 32 and verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. The 32nd Psalm and verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. This is a very sacred and blessed psalm of dear David's. And I just want to note a few things in leading up to the text. First of all, he was given a wonderful view of, by faith, of the blessed state and condition of God's dear people seen in Christ. He begins by saying, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And what a blessed state it is to those in the dear Redeemer when they know their sin forgiven, their pardon signed. And David had this blessed view of them. And then he says, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. You know what a blessed condition to be found in when the Lord has cleansed us from all our sin and transgressions. And how could David speak this? Because he knew what it was to know it in his own heart. You see, man by nature will throw this sin and that sin at different ones. But you know, when we know our own heart, like David was taught, you know, he knew that in him, like the apostle said, dwelleth no good thing. He not got one stone to cast at another. But he knew what it was to know his sin that I want to look at in a moment. And he says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. You see, it's a good place when we're silent to men, isn't it? But speaking to the Lord. You know, at the Red Sea, the children of Israel were brought to that place, you know. The Lord gave them a beautiful word there. And oh, may we continually lay it to heart. What did he say to them? Ye shall hold your peace. And this is what they got to do. Why? The Lord said, and I will fight for you. They got to be silent before men, but speak to the Lord in the whole matter. You know, we live in a day where this one says this and that one says something else. There's murmuring in the streets. You know, we'd be, like the hymn writer said, were half the breath thus vainly spent, to God in prayer and supplication went, then would our song more oftener be, hear what the Lord has done for me. For day and night my hand thy hand was heavy upon me, my moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. You see, he knew what it was to be greatly burdened, David did, concerning his own soul. Are we burdened concerning our soul? Each one of us here has a never-dying soul. Does it concern us? Does it burden us? Does it exercise us? And it wasn't just in the daytime. He says, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. You see, he was under the hand of God. And what a mercy it is when we're under the hand of God. But that hand of the Lord on David was very heavy. And it brought him into much concern and much exercise about his soul and about his sin. He says, they were upon me. There was no escaping it or getting out from under it. You know, many things that man wriggles to get out from under and tries with all their power, but you know, you'll never get out of the hand of the Lord. And he will deal with his dear children. He said he puts his hand on them. Some of us can look back and see how many times the Lord's put his hand on us when we've rebelled against him, when we've sinned against him. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Then he says this, and this is what so rested upon me. As we read through the psalm, when the text dropped in, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. Gracious acknowledgement of our sin. You know, it's a good place to be brought to truly acknowledge our sin before the Lord. And how many times do we have to come in and say, Lord, we're guilty in this and guilty in that. And David knew what it was to feel that guilt within. How many today do we really hear acknowledging their sin before God? And mine iniquity have I not hid. You see, man by nature immediately wants to hide his iniquity, doesn't he? He doesn't want men to see it. But you see, it's all known to the Lord. You see, the Lord looks at the heart. Oh, he does. He sees the inward sins there are within us. The hymn writer said, a sink of sin and unbelief. It's a sign of a healthy soul before God when there's this gracious acknowledgement within our poor heart of our sin before the Lord. The dear publican acknowledged it, didn't he? So did David in Psalm 51. Purge me with hyssop, he says, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. Not only was there this gracious acknowledgement before the Lord of his sin and his iniquity, but he confessed all the transgressions he had before the Lord. And what did the Lord do? He did the same to the publican, and he did the same to the dear dying thief, didn't he? What did he do? He forgave them of the iniquity of their sin, and he gave it to David. And you know, this psalm is full of the sweet experience of David's heart. You know, the more we know of our sin, and the more we acknowledge it before the God of heaven, the more we shall know his mercy and his love and his pardon in grace to be bestowed upon us. And then he says, for this shall every one that is godly pray unto the Lord in a time when thou mayest be found. For this shall every one that is godly pray for. You know, there's not a soul that knows real godliness will have to enter into this psalm and to pray unto the Lord like David did. Why, you see, godliness ruled and reigned in David. We know he was a poor, wretched sinner. We know he fell in sin, but he knew what it was to have real godliness implanted in his soul. For this shall everyone, and that includes the whole election of grace, all that Christ came into this world to suffer, bleed and die for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. There's a time when the sinner will know what it is to find the Lord and to find mercy in him. In a time when thou mayest be found. And you think of David, how he found the Lord to be gracious in that time of great need. And he knew what it was to know that sweet pardon within. Surely the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. And then the words of our text. Thou art my hiding place. Well, may the Lord help us to look a little into it. First of all, let us look in each of our hearts. Do we truly need a hiding place? You think of it before the Lord today. Do you truly feel it? A need of a hiding place? The natural man doesn't. The hymn writer said, too proud to seek a hiding place. But David here was brought, you see, and many times in his life, if you read through the life of dear David, the many times he was brought to feel the great need of a hiding place and could say, thou art my hiding place. He got nowhere else to hide. Well, what do we need hiding from? We need hiding, first of all, from the wrath of God, who is holy, just, and will ever do right. Hiding from his wrath, because you see, the Lord is a holy God, and he cannot look upon sin. It's a stench in the nostrils of God, sin is. But oh, the poor sinner has to prove what the hymn writer said. The more I strove against sin's power, I sinned and stumbled but the more. And you know, when the Lord shows you, and he will, every one of his dear people, the wretchedness and vileness and sin there is within, where shall the sinner flee? From God's wrath against sin, there's only one place, poor soul, where you'll be able to hide, and that is in the dear Redeemer. He came to be the hiding place of sinners. It's one of the blessed names given to the Lord Jesus, a hiding place. Oh, you think of that beautiful hymn we sometimes sing. And dear Mr. Top Lady, you see, you know, doubt every one of us here know how the hymn came to be composed and written. How when the storm raged, you see, naturally, there was a place where he needed to hide. And some of us have known what it is. When a great storm has come upon the earth and we need to hide from the lightning, we need to hide from the rain, we need to hide from the dangers, looking at it naturally. And dear Mr. Top Lady, that's what he had to do. And the place he hid at was the Rock of Ages. And you see, he had not only to hide there, but it brought him to feel the great need in his soul of a hiding place. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. You know, when sin hangs heavy on your poor heart, poor soul, and you solemnly realize the all-seeing eye of the Lord, a holy God, sees you through and through, you fear his wrath and you fear the consequences of sin, and you have to flee to him, don't you? What are we saying in another hymn? It's a beautiful couplet, you know, to me. Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. Is that where you are today, poor soul? Cleaving to him for refuge, for safety, to hide. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. And you say, the sinner that hides in the dear Redeemer will know what it is to know that sweet cleansing power. Instead of all the sorrow because of sin, all the grief there is within, all the pangs within the sinner's heart, what will they have? Sweet pardon and sweet peace. Cleanse me. And this will be the prayer. And this will be the longing. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. There's not only the wrath of God you fear, poor soul, because of your sin. It's the solemn consequences of sin. You see, many speak lightly of sin, but it's not just the sin that troubles the child of God, it's the consequences of it. You see, if we come to our end and come to the swellings of Jordan and to die, and we've got one sin that's not pardoned, hell will be our portion. The consequences, you know. But oh, what a mercy it is. Christ came into this world to save the blackest and vilest of sinners. And what do we sing? The vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, a Saviour's blood to plead. But then there's a lesson for this soul. And dear Mr. Toplady brought it in beautifully, didn't he? When he said, not the labour of my hands can fulfil thy law's demands. You know, the natural man in religion will say, well, I do this and I do that and I'll make myself better. You never can, poor soul. We just grow worse and worse. But oh, not the labour, and you've got to learn that lesson, you see, of my hands can fulfil thy law's demands. What does the law demand? You see, he that's guilty in one point is guilty in it all. It demands that there should be forgiveness for sinners. But the law, you know, won't save you. The hymn writer said, and we think of that beautiful hymn where, and it's very sacred really, what the hymn writer said, concerning God's holy law, you know, there's no hiding place there. Many think, well, if I do this and do that and fulfil the law in this way or that way, I shall be safe. What does the poet say? But thus the eternal covenant ran. Almighty love arrest that man. I felt the arrows of distress and found I had no hiding place. You can't hide in self, poor soul. You can't hide in anything of this world. You can't hide in anything of man. But what does he go on to say? Indignant justice stood in view. To Sinai's fiery mount I flew, but justice cried with frowning face, this mountain is no hiding place. There was no hiding place for Moses, was there, at Sinai? He had to come to the place where the only place he could hide was in the dear Lord Jesus. Indignant justice then stood in view, to Sinai's fiery mount I flew, but justice cried with frowning face, this mountain is no hiding place. And you know, this is what the Lord will show the sinner. They've got no other hiding place but in the dear Redeemer. And what does the poet go on to say? Ere long a heavenly voice I heard. Oh, look at the mercy here. And mercy's angel's form appeared. She led me on with placid peace to Jesus as my hiding place. Now we need hiding, not only from the wrath of God, not only from Sinai's law, but oh, we need to be hid from all our sin, sheltering in the precious blood of Jesus. Not the labour of my hands can fulfil thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. And then this, and this is why you've got to learn, and so have I. Thou must save, and thou alone. And then to come to this, you know, we often think, well, we've got this and got that, and like the Pharisees did, you know, they were steeped in natural religion. They thought they were safe. They didn't know anything of what dear Mr. Toplady went on to say. Nothing in my hand I bring. You know, it's a painful place for carnal nature to come to when we got nothing. And to feel that nothingness. The apostle, you know, in his writings to the Corinthians, does he say, not so sweetly that word, though I be nothing. And you know, it's a good place to be in when we're nothing. Why? That the Lord might be all things. Nothing in my hand I bring. But where could he flee? Simply. And it's simple to the sinner. Simply. To thy cross I cling. And that's what faith will do. It'll reach out for Christ. And for his pardoning love, his mercy. The full assurance that he died for us. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. You know, the Lord showed Adam, didn't he, in the Garden of Eden, his nakedness. You see, before the Lord, he sees us exactly as we are. We all stand naked before him. Nothing is hid. He sees us exactly as we are. Naked come to thee for dress. Do you feel the need of a heavenly dress today? And what is that? The glorious righteousness of Christ that he wrought out for sinners. Helpless. You know, these lessons the child of God will have to learn in fleeing to this hiding place. First, their nothingness. Second, their nakedness. Third, their helplessness. Helpless. Look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour. Or I die. You know, these are beautiful language to the real child of God. It's just how they feel. And they haven't taught themselves it. The Lord is wonderfully teaching you it. I was talking to a dear minister the other day, and he was saying they were in favoured to hear the testimony of a dear young lady, and he said there were two things, he said, in what she had to say that were so precious. She came as a poor, wretched sinner. And he said, you know, it drew my heart to her as she declared her wretchedness, her sinful state and her helplessness and her nakedness. He said that drew me to her because that's just how I feel. But he said then the second thing was this. Where did it bring her? To flee to Christ. Ah, the refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. And oh, you think of dear Mr. Toplady there, and as he wrote this beautiful hymn, and it all came to pass through the storm the Lord had sent into the earth. And it brought him to flee to refuge, and out of it came this beautiful hymn, full of experience. Of God's dear children. Thou art my hiding place. Well, let me come low, child of God. Do you desire to be able to say these first few words in the text? Thou art my hiding place. Lord, I cannot hide in myself, I cannot hide in my loved ones, I cannot hide in anything of this earth. Why? Because death is stamped on it all. But there's one place we would hide, and that's in thee. Sheltering in his wounded side, till all the dangers of life and of death be overpassed. And you see, what is so precious about this is it's an eternal dwelling place where the sinner can hide. They hide for time, they hide for death, and they hide for eternity. It's comprehensive. And nothing will ever penetrate this hiding place. I was thinking while you were singing of that beautiful word in Isaiah where he says this, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat. And you think when in the Bible lands the great heat of the sun, and those that have been there will know more than I do, the power there is in it. They need to hide from it. And you see, the dear Holy Spirit indicted the heart of Isaiah to write this, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat. A blessed hiding place, you see. And then, and a place of refuge where you can hide poor soul, and a covert from storm and from rain. And of course we read, didn't we too, in that 32nd chapter, that very precious word, and it's often preached from on the Christmas season, isn't it? And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And a man shall be, and who's this blessed man? None other than the Lord Jesus. But let us look just briefly, and then I must leave it, but a few things you need an eye to hide from. We've spoken so much in the discourse thus far concerning our sin and our solemn state before a holy God and the need of a hiding place. But you know we need to hide from the power of Satan. And you know there's no place in the earth where the sinner can hide from the power of Satan. He has great power and goeth about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And if ever a man could write this like David did, he knew what it was to need to hide in the Lord from all his enemies. From Saul, from the Philistines, from the many enemies that surrounded him. Oh, the poor sinner, you see, David could prove, had proved it. There was this blessed security and hiding place in the dear Redeemer. And a hiding place that would never fail. You know, if we hide in man, they fail, don't they? We hide in our best friends, they can fail. Hide in a minister and they can fail. Hide in anything of time and it will fail him. Why? Because it's got the sentence of death on it all. But here, in this blessed hiding place, David could hide his poor soul, his life, his body, everything from all the enemies. He says, thou art, and this is faith in gracious exercise. He didn't say, the Lord may be my hiding place. He says, thou art my hiding place. He's my hiding place. And poor soul, then the security there, you see. You're secure. Sheltering in him. For life and for death. Blessed safety. We sing in the hymn, don't we? All my safety is in thee. And why can the sinner hide there? Because you see, he has come to save them, to redeem them, to put away all their sin, all their sorrow, all their grief, and all the safety there is in the dear Redeemer. Sheltering in him. And nothing will destroy this soul, you see. We think of that beautiful word, the apostle, I think he wrote it to the Ephesians. And he says to them, your life is hid with Christ in God. And nothing can destroy that life, you see. It's hid in Christ. His people hide in him. He's their only hope. Their only saviour. Their only redeemer. And he alone can do them good. Thou art my hiding place. To come low to the real child of God. Don't hide, poor soul, anywhere else. You may say, if only I could say thou art my hiding place. Do you long to be able to say it? Thou art. There's a blessed certainty here, you see. And it's a certainty of faith. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. Pause and consider. Well, I must leave it because of the time. May the Lord forgive anything amiss and sweetly apply the word to our souls. Thank you.